Yes, they do. See? Okay.
Yeah, we can do the volume.
Then we push it again. So, strapped in, and you're ready to go.
It's all set?
Yeah.
Or just hit the button?
Yeah.
Is it on?
It work. Yep. I see flash. I see numbers.
Okay.
Turning, right? Yeah.
Okay, great.
Just put that in your pocket somewhere, and you're good to go.
Alrighty.
May I introduce our Sunday school teacher for today, Brother Paul Baulbach.
First thing I want to do is just say it's an honor to be asked to teach, and I love doing it. I love preaching, and the main thing I want to do right now is pray that the Holy Spirit would be the real teacher here. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the honor you give to us of being your children, a member of the body of Christ. Thank you that Christ dwells in us. And I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, that you would express your truth, your love to my personality today. That you would your Holy Spirit would open up our minds, that we might leave here just rejoicing, being reminded, or maybe for the first time really grasping the truth of Christ in us, that we can do all things through him. Help us to see clearly what it truly is to have Christ in us and how to live the Christian life by dependence on him. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to tell you, start out with a little story, which I'm not in, sometime on Christian TV you hear a lot of fables. It's a true story. There was a man in, I believe it was Texas or Oklahoma years back during the Depression era, and he owned a lot of land. And it was real rough. He was like ready to go down. He couldn't pay the taxes on his land, and they were going to take it away from him. And he was living like a pauper. And an oil company came, and they asked him, Mr. So-and-so, can we drill and see if, there's any oil on your land? And he's like, why not? Go ahead. Well, they drilled, and they started getting 80,000 barrels of oil that day. Now, did he become rich overnight? No. He always had that. He had the supply of all that oil. He didn't know, so he lived like a pauper. And that's sometimes our Christian lives. We don't understand. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Christ is literally in us. And the Christian life is this. Man, religion, tradition makes it real complicated. But here's a Christian's life. And we're going to go to the scriptures. I heard from another pastor of a Bible college that you're supposed to tell the people what you're going to tell them, then tell them. So that's what I'm going to take that advice. The Christian life is God's Spirit, or God by His Holy Spirit, and dwelling a man, woman, boy or girl, having access to a soul. Your soul is what? Your mind, your emotion, and your will. The Holy Spirit teaching your mind, thereby controlling your emotions. Your emotions respond to what you're thinking. And directing His will, not forcing His will. He directs your will, thereby governing His actions. That's Christ in you expressing His life, His truth, thank you, His love through your personality. Christian life in a nutshell. I've heard it said, the Christian life is Christ died for you, that He might give His life to you, that He might live His life through you. For years, I was in a legalistic church, and I would commit myself to the commitment. I broke the week before when they were doing altar call. And I remember coming to the point of saying, Lord, I can't do this. If it's going to get done, you're going to have to do it. And right around then, I started hearing about grace on the radio, actually. I'm like, that ain't what I've been taught. And it's transforming. And when you really understand grace, like what I love about this church, and it's kind of intimidating to come and teach here, because Ricky stresses getting into the Word, and he understands right division. And so there's people here who know a lot about the Word. So, if you mess up, it's like, I know that ain't right or whatever. But on the other hand, I'm not depending on myself. But there's more to dispensationalism than just we're not under the law, we're under grace. We don't got to get baptized. We don't got to give 10%. As under law, actually it was more, that you give according to your means and with a cheerful heart. It's understanding through Paul, because Paul, if you don't understand he's our apostle with our instructions, you're going to be confused and try and mix programs, and you see a lot in the church today, a lot of confusion. But if you don't get through Paul, it's what Paul say? It's no longer I who lives. He's not trying in his own strength. It's Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ. If you don't get that, you will try and perform the Christian life in your own strength. And what's it say? I believe the context is unsaved people, those in the flesh cannot please God. Well, if we allow, what is the flesh? That old nature, that, remember it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? So the flesh can go towards licentiousness, or it can go towards religion. And we can try in our own performance, our commitment, and we'll fall flat on our face, and it won't be the Holy Spirit doing it in us. Because when you're doing it through the Holy Spirit, what's the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit? Love. That's singular. I mean, you can take that any way you want. You want to separate it? I believe it's love, and out of love comes joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness, and at the end, self-control. So I just want to go back to the beginning, because all Scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training, right? So we need not only to study Paul's epistles, we should, you major in them, but all of Scripture, there's something, it's all about Christ. He said in the prophets, it's written about me. So first we're going to go to Paul in Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And Paul writes to us. Let me ask you first, when you think of, if somebody asks you, what's salvation? I just read something in a Grace publication in another country, a pastor. He got saved. He was a Muslim. And he said, it's wonderful. I'm forgiven of my sins and on my way to heaven. And that's most Christians' understanding. See, that's only half the gospel. Jesus died for my sins. Right? He died to what? Forgive your sins. Right? And on the cross also, Romans chapter 6, break the power of sin. But he rose from the dead. See, what Paul said the gospel is that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose according to the Scriptures. See, if you just understand Christ died for me, now I'm forgiven, now I want to serve God, and you don't get the resurrected life down, that he's literally in you. It's called Zoe. It's the life of God, literally. It's a quality of life. We never become gods, but we're what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes. And if you don't get it down, that you're going to, like, if that's his understanding, now Christ leads me here to live this Christian life. We'll be falling on our face. There won't be real fruit. There can be plastic. The flesh can build up things. Look at these mega ministries, right? 10,000 people. But, you know, you tell them that prosperity message, that God will give you all your dreams, all your goals. You'll always be healthy. And God wants you wealthy because God's a good guy and devil's a bad devil, right? You know what happens? You'll get unsaved people coming in. And they'll fill them up. Because unsaved people want that too. But when you preach straight up, the gospel has an offense, doesn't it? The offense of the gospel Paul talks about. You're going to have low churches. But in the dispensation of grace, what is it? In our weakness, Christ's power is made manifest. So it's in low churches. You see God doing some wonderful, wonderful things. And people who realize, I can't do it. I count as rubbish, like Paul said, all my religion, all I can do in my flesh, to knowing Christ and his resurrection, and even the fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, we don't like that, right? But that's when we realize we need his strength. I was going to go to the next verse. So here's salvation. Not just you're forgiven. See, God couldn't give you life unless he forgave you once for all. Because when you sin, what would happen? Like when Adam sinned, one sin, the Holy Spirit left him. Spiritually dead. So salvation, that's forgiveness. He declares us righteous unto eternal life. Salvation is in the resurrection. He made us alive. Look at this. in Ephesians 2:1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, people think because of religion and legalistic, maybe even true believers, but legalistic, they think that salvation is in what they're doing. That I can earn God's acceptance. And the flesh likes that. I'm good enough. You know? But when you're dead in trespasses and sins, and people say, like a Calvinist, they would say, "Dead men can't do nothing." Well, let's keep reading. "In which you walked." Oh, dead men can walk. Dead men walking. "According to the course of this world." What's a course? It's a teaching, right? Satan's got a teaching where he tries to conform you, and actually he has a lot. He's got some for everybody. You know, some people are more... When I was younger, I was sort of drawn to Buddhism because, you know, I had four different sizes, or six of them, big Buddha all the way down because it looked just cool and peaceful, you know. And then I got saved. Got rid of the statues because now I had a living Christ. And anyway, Satan's got a course, and he tries to conform us. But what's Paul say? Be trend. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't fall for that. And how are you not going to fall for it? Knowing truth, getting into your word, rightly dividing it, and depending on the Holy Spirit to teach you. Because we can know what something says. Let me give you an example. Can you say alopecia areata? Yeah. What's it mean? So you know what it's... You know what I said? It means this. Baldness and spots are falling hair. Okay? So we can study the Word. If we don't depend on the Holy Spirit to turn the light on, it's not getting something new. If it's new, it ain't true. But it's taken, and Lord, if you don't teach me, I'm not going to know. Like when I first understood forgiveness and the grace of God, I was like, that ain't what I've been taught. Ain't what I heard. Even when I heard about salvation, the guy said, "You just got to recognize you're a sinner." I'm like, "No problem. I'm honest. You know, I know things I did." And he said, "Trust that Christ died for your sins." And I'm like, "Ain't what I heard. This church says you got to do this, and this one said don't do that." And I said, "I can do that. I can trust." And I did. In that moment, I didn't know it because you don't feel anything. It's a spiritual thing. I was born again. Christ came and indwelled my dead human spirit. So again, here we're going to go back there because I want to see if I can get my whole thing in. I never have a problem. I heard of sometime new pastors. They come out and in 5 minutes they got everything out. I've never been where I'm always like, how can I wrap it up because I didn't get in everything. But what was the problem? "And you he made alive." Well, if he made someone alive, what's that mean? They were dead. But they're walking around. See, they have a soul, so we're going to go back and see Genesis 2:7. Go back to the beginning. Because the problem is, why don't people come to Christ for life? They don't realize they're dead. Spiritually dead. And what's that mean? Spiritual death. What's it mean? Spiritual life. He made alive. So let's go to Genesis 1:26. And it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then 27, So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female. So God created man. What made man in God's image? Well, let's see. Let's go to Genesis 2:7. And it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." What happened was God created man from the dust of the ground, gives him a body. Now he gives him a soul, mind, emotion, will. And he breathes into his spirit, God's spirit, Zoe. This will be in the Hebrew, but if you look in Paul's epistles when he says, if we are reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, we're not saved by his death. We're forgiven by his death. We're cleansed, declared righteous. It's in his resurrection we're saved. Resurrection is what? The restoration of life. It's Christ comes and indwells us with divine life. Now we're the temple of the Holy Spirit, member of the body of Christ. And so, what made Adam in God's image? God in the man. See, God created man in such a way, see, that we're different than animals. Vegetables have what? A body, right? Or plants, it moves with the sun even. But they don't have a mind, emotion, and will. Animals have a temporary soul. I'm a professional dog trainer, and we got a long-haired chihuahua and a small German shepherd. And you can see them when they're happy, their tail's wagging. You can see when she knows she did something wrong, the ears go down, the tail goes twinning with her legs. She makes choices, mine, and she thinks. You can see in their eyes sometimes when they're going to play, you know, when they go like that, they're thinking, well, they're going to jump and grab you playing. But they don't have a spirit. That's why I don't believe in evolution. One thing, God's Word don't teach it. And animals have a temporary life here. So they can think. But, and you know what animals protects animals? Instinct. Why do bees create the hive that's so designed, so wonderful? Moody's got a great videotape on our DVD now. How they work so much. Why do geese go to the south for the winter? Why do ants go and prepare for the wintertime? Instinct. God created them that way. What made man different? God in the man. The Holy Spirit in the man. He was to direct our will. He was to control us. And it was love, faith, trust, dependence. And so when you... Because God is invisible. Invisible, the Bible said, right? So, I heard a sort of a saying, there are no aliens. But if there were, just use your imagination. And they had heard, they never seen God, but they had heard there's someone on the planet Earth that's in the image of God. Let's go there, because when we see Him, we're going to know what the invisible God's like. So it was God's Spirit in man's spirit teaching his mind, therefore controlling his emotions, directing his will, therefore governing his actions. So when you seen Adam before the fall, seen what God was like. God in the man. You know, people talk about, oh, I was raised in a dysfunctional family, you know, psychobabble. Everybody since the fall has. Don't blame it on mama, poor mama. Oh, she potty trained me too young, that's why I do drugs, you know, today. It goes all the way back to Adam. And Adam had a perfect father, right? And he's still messed up. So let's not blame it on... We make choices ourselves. So, let's go to... Well, you know what? I'm going to skip. But it talks... No, let's go. Job 32:8. To me, a Bible teacher or a pastor, the clock is his enemy. Right, Pastor Kirks? Job 32:8 says, but there is a spirit in man. So man has a human spirit, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Great men are not always wise. Then in 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. See, God breathed His Spirit into man. So God in the man, it makes him true humanity. But what happened? Go to Genesis 3:1-7. Where chapter happened. I guess that's better than church happened, right? Genesis 3:1-7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, see, doubting God's word. Right away. You shall not eat. Has God said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it. One thing I want you to catch there, Satan cast doubt on God's word. How about for us? God said He's working all things for our good. What about when we're going through something? You believe in that? Doubting it? God's word's true. Whether we feel like it, or not. But what did Eve do? She added something to God. Here's the first, to me, form of religion. God didn't say, according to the record, you couldn't touch it. He said you couldn't eat it. So I could imagine Satan leaning on the tree, just touching that fruit. Right? You surely won't die. Now, because she added. Instead of knowing the word very clearly, and then you wonder about Adam. He's supposed to protect. Us as men are supposed to lead our families, protect our families. And all of us come up short. You ain't going to be perfect. But Adam was there. I think he was watching. And he allowed the woman to take control. And then there's a lot of different stories that they have that he loved her so much he didn't want to leave her and blah, blah, blah. You know, only unsaved. But they believed the lie. Satan's a great deceiver and he's good at it. He's got for how many thousands of years where he fooled Israel first, he pulled things on them, he finds out a lot of that stuff works in the body of Christ even. And so he literally, first he cast out on God's word, then he comes out, you surely won't die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You don't got, as a human being, a man, you don't got to depend on God. You'll be your own God. You hear that today? New age? God is in me. Now we're talking about unsaved people. That spark of God in religion. There's that spark of God still there, but you got to do this, bring it out. Unsaved people don't have the life of God, because we're going to get to that in a sec. But you don't need God anymore. You can be independent. That's what Adam's sin was. Believing a lie. And the lie's still going around today in different garbs. You can be man without dependence upon God. And what happened? God said in chapter 2, verse starting in 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. There's grace. Freely. I give you all this freedom. See, Satan was trying to say, God's holding back from you. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And Hebrew scholars believe there's a double death there. Dying, you shall die. Well, whether you want to agree with that or not, Adam didn't die physically that day, did he? He lived to be, I think, 930 years old. How did he die? The Spirit of God left him. Now he's got a human spirit, empty from spiritual life. It's alive to this world. His soul connects with this world, but absent from the life and control of God. Remember animals, instinct that protected them? Now man doesn't have that. And what did Adam's first son do? Murder. He not only lost the life of God, he gained something, a sinful nature. That rebellion, whether it be out in drugs or in the streets or whatever, whether it be in religion, in the bondages of religion, and the self-righteousness. And so he passes that on to the whole human race. So why I think a lot of times people maybe don't come to Christ? Because they think they're moral. They don't know they're dead. See, it's spirit. What is death? The absence of life. What is somebody spiritually dead? Absent from the life of God. What's a dead man need? Life. See, sometimes we're not preaching that. We're telling people, quit doing this and quit doing that and quit doing that. We're telling dead people, quit acting like dead people. Act like a Christian. And we tell believers. And we are instructed in Paul's epistles with our instructions. But he also, all over Paul, it's dependence on Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, in your own strength, you cannot live the Christian life. You can try and you'll get burnt out. And that's probably will be the best blessing you can have. Because I remember laying in that bed saying, Lord, I can't do this. If it's going to get done, you're going to have to do it. Now I was ready. See, it's always receiving. It's appropriating. Because we have every spiritual blessing. If we could really get a hold in our mind, if the Holy Spirit can really illumine, and if we'll just believe what God says, you don't know what God could do in your life. A few years ago, and my Christian walk was so bad, you would have never said, they would have said, Paul ain't saved. He talks about Jesus, but look at that. Look at how he acts. Since then, since I understood grace, life has become a journey of joy. And I'm not saying it's easy, because me and my wife in the last couple of years, financially I've went through, we're still going through it. But when I'm focused on the Lord, when I'm dependent, Lord, I can't deal with this. Like I remember going through, sometimes the bills are coming, you know, and you just don't know what to do. It goes through your mind, should you go rob a 7-Eleven? You know, flesh comes, Satan comes, and no, that wouldn't help, because then I'll be in jail and still got the bills, right? And like I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And you know what comes to my mind? I don't hear no voice. I'm thinking, yeah, I know what to do. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, right? And supplication with thanksgiving. So how can I thank God in this? Because God's working all things for my good. And what's that good? He's taking every even thing, because we can't see what God's doing. Because sometimes you get so burdened, you don't know what to do. But I remember somebody saying, when you don't see the hand of God move, trust in His heart. And so I'm like, Lord, You said You're going to work this for my good. And then you get your focus on Him. See, problems can turn our focus away on the problem, or they can turn our dependence. And what God wants to do in us is not that prosperity message, give you everything you want, may always make you healthy. You know what His will is for the body of Christ? To conform us into the image of Christ. For Christ to be expressed, His personality in us, His life in us, express those out. His love, His joy, His truth. But sometimes we're not loving people, we want them to give them us a hearing, but right? You want to tell them about the love of God when you've been banging them in the head. You know, this is not a club. It's a sword. You don't hit them in the head. You poke them. Stick them with it. The word of God is what? Living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. You just give the word of God. But if they don't see the love, and guess what? We can't produce that kind of love. That sound bad? It's glorious. I can't. But what does Paul tell us? I can do all things through Christ. See, our dependence is on Him. Otherwise, I would never come up here. If it was me, I'd be like, Lord, I remember the first time I preached years back, 30 years ago in a senior's home, and the guy didn't show up. I was just going there, I want to get involved in ministry, and the regular preacher didn't show up, and the ladies asked me, Paul, you want to preach? And I'm like, no. I never did that. I don't know what to say. And they're like, well, then they're not going to have church today if you don't do it. Throw the old guilt trip on me like mom, right? You know, if I die before, if you don't do that for me, I might die and you'll regret it. But so I'm like, okay. And I went up there, literally my legs shaking. I'm not just using illustration. My legs were like that. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know. You know what they need to hear. And by faith, I was in total dependence. And as soon as I started preaching, I was getting boldness. And ever since then, I've been teaching and preaching. But it was Christ in me. And I don't want to do things on my own, because I don't know what you need. I don't know what you're going through. But God knows every single thing. And He takes His Word, the Word of God that worketh in you. And as we depend and trust, the life of Christ is formed in us. And then people see that. They see something in you, a strength, a peace, this love that even when I'm mean to them, they love me. We can't produce that. Only the Holy Spirit can. And we see now Adam lost the life of God. So, like I said, I'm never going to get to all this. Now, there's no more image of God in man. No more protection. The Holy Spirit was, as instinct was for the animal, the Holy Spirit was to direct us. So what does man do? Now he makes nuclear bombs. This is adults. You know, you don't need God. You can be an adult, full human. Old Satan's lie, right? What's he do? They take needles and shove them in their arm. They take acid and burn their brain. Cocaine and fill up. Molesting kids. The internet. You want to be adult in this world? Go to an adult bookstore. That's adult in the world. You know? But to God, it's filth. Not only that, religion, anything in the flesh is filth to God. There's all our righteousness is as dirty, filthy rags. So we can't save ourselves. Now, Adam was the only one created. He's created with the life of God. God breathes His Spirit into man. But then, it's gone. Once he sinned, the Holy Spirit left him. Adam made that choice. And it passes on. We all come from a fallen human race. Without the... How can Adam pass on what he doesn't have? And then all of a sudden, what should God have did? What would you have did? If you created, he said, it's good. And he goes and believes your arch enemy. What would you want to do? I think I'd want to say, you know what? This ain't working good. He ain't good no more. Why don't I just destroy him? Start over. God didn't do that. God had a plan. See, he knew Adam would sin. An eternity past. The mystery. What Christ would do on that cross, accomplish it. Not only his cross, that's half a gospel, burial and resurrection. And so, Christ comes, right? He's the only one. Now, he is God, right? By him all things were created. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, I believe. Yeah, 1:15. Talking about Christ in verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So what is Christ? God's invisible. Now He's born. He's God in heaven, right? By Him all things were created. Without Him none weren't created. And John, as the pastor's going through, I'm sure he went through that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's the Word was God. Talking about Christ. Christ was God. Well, He could have stayed in heaven and been God, couldn't He? But in order for Him to come and redeem us, why do you think angels... demons will never, fallen angels or Satan. He didn't become one. But God so loved us that Christ came. He's deity, He's God, and He puts on an earth suit. He takes on humanity. Now you know, Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? Remember Thomas said, show us the Father. Have I been with you so long? Don't you know? Because Christ offered, though He was God, He didn't use His godly attributes while He was here. He said, I can do none on my own. You say, well, He's God. How can He not do none on His own? Boy, this is giving me a headache. Make me think. Christians don't like to think, usually. One lady said, oh, I like... She changed church, so I like it, because we don't have to think there. Yeah. But anyway, He could have stayed in heaven, but what happened? He came to show us how true man lives. He made His humanity available to the Father, and He depended on the Father. And the Father expressed Himself, so when you've seen Christ, you've seen what God was like. You ever hear that before? The image Adam was, but he lost. So Christ shows us. Because you know that that bracelet? What would Jesus do? Good luck. Jesus was perfect. Why do you think His brother, when... He wasn't going to... He said, why don't you go up there? Because they were looking to kill Him. Why don't you go get killed? How'd you like a perfect brother? Why don't you be more like Jesus? Look at you, why you do that? Jesus don't do that. How'd you like to have a perfect brother? That would be intimidating, but on the other hand, the most loving brother. He would be giving you words of life. But you get jealous a little bit. Like, you know, how come it's always Jesus? But anyway, He's perfect humanity, and in His perfect humanity. He makes His humanity available to God so you can see God. What's He full of? Grace and truth. What's God? Full of grace and truth, His heart. Right? And so, but when Jesus ministered on this earth to Israel, right? But we can learn in there because there's things that are dispensational and there's things that are transdispensational. That's why Paul said the things written in the past were written for our learning. We can learn from Israel's mistakes. And I lost my train of thought while I was going on. I'll just go to the next thing. But here, when Christ was on earth, how many people could he minister to? In the record, what's have? 5,000, 10,000 maybe, with kids and everything? All right. So Christ lives perfect, goes to a cross. The righteous dies for the unrighteous, right? Deals with the sin issue. Now, if Christ just forgave us, but we're spiritually dead, we would be, what, cleansed corpses, right? But what's a dead man need? Life. So he died so he could cleanse us once for all, so God's justice is completely satisfied, all of his anger for every sin, Hitler, Mussolini, and ours too, that are just as repulsive to God. And God pours his anger on Christ. Now, God says, believe. When we believe, his justice now that would have to condemn us now declares us righteous. Now, because we're righteous, he can give us eternal life. It's not temporary, it's not probation. And it's not just life when I get to heaven. It's the life of Christ in you now. That quality of life that God has, spiritual life. We never, don't get me wrong, we never become any more than human beings. But we get the life of God in us, that once again, God back in the man that can express himself through your personality. Or you can be yourself. You don't have to dress with the dress up to here. And I think women should dress modestly. But you ever see some of the holiness churches? Dresses up to here. You know, holiness is ugliness. The men got to have their little Baptist haircuts. You know? No goatee, no, you know. You got to dress this way, you got to dress that way, because that's sanctified. You got to speak in tongues, you got to roll down the aisles, you know, keep going. We can keep what man and religion throws to it. Because, you know, it talks about how they've given pastors and teachers, so we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But you know what happens? Sincere believers, they're running after this movement. They're running, because they want something from God. They want to serve God. And Satan's got all kinds of stuff. You got the emergent church coming up with contemplative prayer that's just Hinduism warmed over and meditation. And then you got where they were barking, the counterfeit revival, they're barking in the spirit, clucking like chickens, quote, laughing in the spirit. And people are running there. Because why? They want what God's got. Because believers don't know, and I thank God that the pastor here builds you up in the faith, tells you you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You have Christ in you. You're complete in Christ. What more you need? Sometimes people, I remember a couple of guys used to come to my Bible study, and the one guy was like, we need more doctrine, doctrine head. And I'm like thinking, why he wants more? Because he ain't applying what he got. See, there can be somebody. You know, I was led to the Lord by a Pentecostal. It wasn't a mid-Acts dispensationalist. If God had to wait only for grace believers, mid-Acts dispensationalist, there ain't a whole lot out there. Because of the error that, well, you know in the past why it went, that there's so much error, not readily dividing the word. But if you have that attitude, God, I'm available. What is Romans? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 3-11. I got to be wrapping up. Why are unbelievers, why don't they come? One thing, but even if our gospel is veiled, that's the gospel of grace that was given to the Apostle Paul. It's veiled to those who are perishing. See, they're on their way to hell. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded. See, Satan blinds. How does he blind? Does he possess him? Error. And you know where he works best? religion. Because there's something in us that knows we should worship God. But there's that sinful nature that rebels against the truth. And he says, whose mind this world, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves. See? Don't ever get to the point of, oh, you know what? I'm doing it in my ministry. And no. Because if you're doing anything that counts to God, it's the Holy Spirit producing it out of you. And then who gets the glory?
God.
Yeah. But we get the joy of the journey. We're on it with them. And you know, the world today in the church, they say, you know, the miraculous. No, they're looking for the spectacular. You know what's miraculous? When God takes a dead person who is so filthy that it disgusts God, his sins. And that God, because his love's unconditional, and he sends a son to die for that person. And they're taken from spiritual death and receive the life of Christ. Now they have eternal life living in them for eternity. Now heaven's a bonus. That's not eternal life when I get to heaven. That's a bonus. The life is in me when I get to heaven. Now I'm going to be with the one who gave me the life. And it says, we don't preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. So that's what a pastor is. That's what a Bible teacher. A servant. In dependence on the Holy Spirit. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You know, the Jews look for light. I heard Ravi Zachariah, a great Christian mind. But even like him and C.S. Lewis, I got to read their paragraphs twice. They got so much insight, so much high IQ, and write so many good things. But sometimes you read, because I don't lightly divide the word, and I'm like, how could they get there? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to teach you. And if you don't rightly divide the word, you're going to have some confusion. But he did a really good teaching one day. Jews looked for light. Thy word is a light unto my feet. Greeks looked for knowledge. You know, Greek philosophies. And the Romans, they looked for glory. All roads led to Rome, the glory of Rome. So everything mankind's truly looking for, to be satisfied, to have light, to have knowledge, to have glory. You know, what is glory? You hear in the hymn books, I heard somebody say, don't get your theology always from the hymn books. There's a lot of real good theology. But they go glory like heavens. No, glory is God who He is. What is Christ? Christ in you, your hope for glory. It's God's life in the man expressing Himself out. That's what gives a human being dignity. And He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. See, that's why God allowed. He could change us when we got saved, right? He allows us because in our weakness, He gets the glory. And people can relate to you because you're weak too. Don't try and act to people like, well, I'm a Christian. I can't let them know. I struggle. Be yourself. And they'll see something in you. But they can relate to you too because you're being a human being. But then, it's not just your love if you don't share too. You know, Paul talks about you're the letter, a living letter, not on stone. We're letters that it's on our hearts that God expresses out. And when you realize, I'm going to wrap up right now, and then my wife's going to come, and my lovely wife, my little canary is going to sing a song. Go to Romans chapter 12. You know, they talk about, oh, does your church do worship? You know, we're going to worship now. We're going to sing. Well, singing ain't necessarily worship. It can be. If you're focused on the Lord and you're singing to Him, you're offering your body, your mind, your voices to God. But ain't necessarily. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and we're going to go to 2. And I'm going to close with this. I beseech you, this ain't the law saying you better. God's going to get you. He's going to punish you if you don't. Because He's a good father and He'll take you to the woodshed. No. Paul had taught them, he had wrote already, all that God had did. We died with Christ. We were buried. We rose. Now reckon yourself dead to sin. The reckoning don't make it so. It's so because God said. Now I believe it. When I get sinful thoughts, I go, nope, that's not me. I died. That was me and Adam. Yeah, that's. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, it's that truth setting you free. And because Paul's saying, because of God's mercy, because of His grace, we didn't deserve it, right? Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, it's even by His mercies that we can even present ourselves, that God can use us. And He says, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, or can be interpreted reasonable or logical worship. Ministry. It's the same idea when the priest ministered in the temple. So what is... And let me go to two. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be pressured into this mold of its religion or whatever. But by the renewing of your mind. Where do you get your mind renewed? The Word of God. As a holy... You depend on the Holy Spirit to teach you. We start looking at life through God's. The way He thinks. I work in a place where a lot of schizophrenic people, what they call them anyway, label them, or bipolar. And the society would say, that's a scum of society. And I say, Lord, let me see them through Your eyes. I love them. I share with them. I put my arm around them. I listen to them. I'm just, every morning I go there, I go, I'm available, Lord. Christ in me, express Yourself through my personality. And it's that love of God. And then I share with them too. I don't just love them. And then, you know, if they don't preach, how do they hear? Right? So, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, when you understand, it's not just you're forgiven and one day you're going to heaven, but that Christ is in you. And it's by faith, when you depend on Him, Lord, this is worship. Every day, 24/7. And we don't do it always, do we? Do every minute? Are we thinking no? That's why Paul said, be ye filled, continued. Like Pastor Stan said, it's a goal. But when you're available and you're focused and you're dependent, what happens, God will express Himself through you. That's a joy of the Christian life. It's not a burden. So I hope you've been blessed, and my wife's going to come up and sing a song. Not bad. On time, too. Obviously, not as well. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Bob. That was a great message.
Very much.
So blessed to have it as a husband. And the song that I sing, this is kind of like the song that ministers to my heart. And Paul and I have a nursing home ministry, and we go quite some months, and today is our day to prepare. And to keep us in prayer with our ministry, about Grace and Truth Ministry. We've got to serve the Lord. We've been reaching out to our seniors who in some places are forgotten. But I pray that this song ministers to your heart as you go through your daily journey.
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what He wants me to be. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He's able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He's able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be.
Amen. Should I just put this?
Yeah, put it up there somewhere. I like mean to take away. Actually, give it to this fellow right here.
And hit this red.